Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. If this was a traditional building of a church, then the baptism this morning would normally have taken place at the back of the church, because they have the font by the door. You've seen these old churches, you know, you go in, there's a big font by the door, and the font's there because baptism represents entrance into the church, and therefore it's good to have the big font by the door of the church. It's symbolic in the way in which the buildings are constructed. And of course, this is very different in our building. Here is a church, it's built totally differently. They always used to be built to face east, so that you were facing Jerusalem. I think we're facing sort of south, aren't we? I think we've built for the sunshine and not for the geography. And in the church, all different parts had names, so that you've got transepts and crossings and all these kinds of things. We've just got a square. So, but I just want you to think for a moment about a traditional church, and what would this part of the church be called? The what? No, that would be up here, kind of thing. This would be up this end, the sanctuary area. And sometimes, yeah, the nave. Thank you very much indeed. Do we know why, traditionally, it was called a nave? Sorry? It was a public place, but why nave? It's from the Latin, meaning nave. Nave comes from the Latin, I'm going to try and get this right. Nave comes from the Latin navis, which means boat. Hey, I see. Did you not know that? Well, there you are, I see. It was worth coming this morning, wasn't it? After all, see? Nave from navis, meaning boat. And the idea being that, we all sat in a boat. The bark of Peter. And so the boat, as in the story today, is tossed around in the storm. But we in the church are safe in Christ's boat. I could sit down now, go on, sermon finished. All over, don't we? But I'll just finish off. So we're in the boat. And the boat represents a place of safety. A book was written a few years ago now, by an American guy who was into all, these kind of... His theology was a bit different from ours, some of ours. And he said, if you want to walk on water, you've got to get out the boat. I thought, oh, that's good. I like that. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out the boat. And then I thought about it. I mean, I'm into boats, as you know, because, the last couple of weeks I've done quite a lot of fishing. Not as much as I could have done, but I have done quite a lot of fishing. I was with Max a week or so ago, and we were fishing, and I hooked a really big fish. And it was on very light tackle. This is what you've got to understand, very light tackle. I'm on a fly line, so, you have to play it very carefully because it'll break the line. This big fish is going all over the place. It's going under the boat. It's going round the boat. It's going everywhere. And I can't just pull it in because it's so big, it'll just break the line. So I said to Max, there's nothing for it. We're going to have to take the boat to the shore and then get out the boat. And in the shallow waters, we'll be able to stick a net under it. So that's what we did. We went to the shore. But of course, as you get near to the shore, the boat bangs on the bottom, doesn't it? So you can't actually beach it, as it were. So there's nothing for it. Max had to get out the boat. So Max, fantastic guy to have fishing with you. He's straight out the boat, Gets a bit wet. Because, when you get out of the boat, you don't walk on water. You get wet. And I thought, so what's this guy going on about? If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. It doesn't work. And that is the truth. Nobody, apart from Jesus, and for a little tiny bit Peter, as far as we know, nobody walks on water. And when we get out of the safety of the boat, life out there is very, very difficult. And we talk about God and we feel God's presence with us, but when we're on the outside, we don't walk on water. We don't experience those kinds of fantastic miracles in our daily lives, if we're honest. And all kinds of televangelists will come on telling you they're curing your cancer and they're making you better and all that kind of stuff. One leg's growing back the same length as the other one now. And they can do all of that, but they cannot walk on water. They cannot show these miraculous deeds in the way that Jesus was able to do it. And I do so wish that I could conjure up some magic, be able to do some of these wonderful miracles, because my job as a vicar would be so much easier. People would believe. You know, how I wish, you know, when I visited a hospital and I saw a really poorly person, that I could pronounce them well again, as Jesus was able to do. The fact is, we cannot do that. So what do we do when we've got to get out the boat? What do we do? And I think there's perhaps a little bit of help from the passage from Elijah this morning. Because Elijah's frightened. You know, he's in the real world. Ahab's going to kill him. And Jezebel, his wife, hates him. So he's fearful for his life and he goes and hides in a cave. And don't we sometimes feel like going and hiding in a cave? You know, when all the letters come through the door with the bills in that you don't want to receive. When, you know, you get messages from people you don't want to hear. When you've got relationship difficulties. When you've got problems with the job. When all that stuff, don't you feel like you want to go and hide in a cave? Yes. And Elijah goes and he hides in a cave and he says, God, I'm the only one left. I feel like I'm on my own. And he asks for a miracle. He has to be able to walk on water. The wonderful thing, the big, shiny, you know, evidence that God is there. And God says, I'm in not the fire, not the earthquake, not all of the big noise. I'm in a still, small voice. And that is the truth that you and I have to live with. We go into a world where really needy people would love to see people walking on water, but it isn't going to happen. But what we have got, and what we can hear in the stillness of our own souls, is a still, small voice. And we can know, at those times of fear, that God is with us. If we just listen, in the stillness of our hearts, Christ is with us. Those disciples were in the boat, they were tossed about, they were fearing for their lives, and Christ walked to them and he said, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. And that's what we need to take with us as we go out into the world. The knowledge that Christ is with us. The knowledge that, where's Lennon? He's gone. There he is. We pray today, as Lennon's baptized, that God will be with him through his life. We know that Christ will be with him. Through the ups and the downs, through the difficult times of life, we know that Christ will be with little Lennon. He won't be, you know, able to see, won't be able to walk on water. But through the difficulties, when he feels like hiding in a cave, Christ can be with him and help him through. And it mightn't seem like a really, you know, kind of wonderful, exciting thing. But it is. Because God is with each one of us in our times of need. Amen.